Blog Talk Radio.
And good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kel Fritzy, and I trust you're all doing well today. I want to talk to you today about Sharia law. There's a lot of people out there who do not really know exactly what Sharia law is. Yeah. There's a lot of courts, Sharia courts, in the West. People don't really know, nor are they paying attention to what exactly these courts entail. But I think you should know, and why you do not want them. You know, there are things you need to know about Sharia law, and I want to explain them to you. Where to begin? I'm telling you. Islamic Sharia law and courts in the West. You know what? I'm going to tell you right now. Jihad, defined as to war against non-Muslims to establish their religion, is the duty of every Muslim and Muslim head of state or caliph. Muslim caliphs who refuse jihad are in violation of Sharia and unfit to rule. A caliph can hold office through seizure of power, meaning through force. A caliph is exempt from being charged with serious crimes such as murder, adultery, robbery, theft, drinking, and in some cases of rape. A percentage of zakat or charity money must go towards jihad. It is obligatory to obey the commands of the caliph, even if he is unjust. A caliph must be a Muslim, a non-slave, and a male. The Muslim public must remove the caliph if he rejects Islam. A Muslim who leaves Islam must be killed immediately. In other words, a Muslim who leaves the religion, or the cult, as you know I refer it to being, would be an apostate. A Muslim will be forgiven for murder if, of one, he murders an apostate, an adulterer, a highway robber, vigilante street justice and honor killing is acceptable. And I'm just going to go off script here and explain that one to you. And I think that the honor killings under Sharia law is acceptable. Now, I'm not too sure if you're all familiar with this particular case that happened in Canada. Canada had the dubious honor of, I don't even know how to say it. It's Canada experienced the first mass honor killing in the West a couple of years back, and that was the Shafia daughters and the first wife. So, like I say, when I say dubious or honor, like, I should say the disgusting distinction of being known for experiencing the first mass honor killing in the West, and that was the Shafia family. The father and the mother murdered their three daughters and the husband's first wife in Ottawa, Ontario, by placing them in a car and driving the car into the Rideau Canal. So that was honor killing under Sharia law, and they thought they were doing the they were fine with it. As far as the father was concerned, the daughters had dishonored the family, and they deserved what they got. This was picked up on police surveillance. They were tried in a Canadian court, not a Sharia court, and they were convicted to life imprisonment, both the mother and the father and the older brother. But under Sharia law, they thought that they were doing the right thing to restore honor to the family. So honor killing is acceptable under Sharia. A Muslim will not get the death penalty if he kills a non-Muslim, but he will get it for killing a Muslim. Sharia never abolished slavery, sexual slavery, and highly regulates it. A master will not be punished for killing his slave. You might think I'm reading from the Old Testament, but I'm not. You know, slavery is alive and well amongst Sharia adherents. Slavery is, you read about the indentured servants in Saudi Arabia, for example. They're essentially slaves. That's what they are. Slavery, the trade, is alive and well. Do you know that Muslims still have slaves? Yes, they do. Under Sharia law, it's all fine. Sharia, it dictates death by stoning, beheading, amputation of limbs, flogging, even for crimes of sin such as adultery. That's right, those are punishments under Sharia. I don't know if you ever saw this movie, The Stoning of Surya M. If you haven't, please watch it, but be warned, there are scenes that are quite graphic. It's based on true events. Actually, it's based on a true story. This actually happened. When you watch this movie, this actually happened to a woman. I believe you can get it on Netflix, so please, The Stoning of Sharia M. Surya M., if you have a chance, watch that movie. Non-Muslims are not equal to Muslims under the law. They must comply to Islamic law if they are to remain safe. They are forbidden to marry Muslim women, publicly display wine or pork, recite their scriptures, or openly celebrate their religious holidays or funerals. They are forbidden from building new churches or building them higher than mosques. They may not enter a mosque without permission. A non-Muslim is no longer protected if he leads a Muslim away from Islam. It is a crime for a non-Muslim to sell weapons to someone who will use them against Muslims. Non-Muslims cannot curse a Muslim, say anything derogatory about Allah, the Prophet, or Islam, or expose the weak points of Muslims. But Muslims can curse non-Muslims. A non-Muslim cannot inherit from a Muslim. Banks must be Sharia compliant, and interest is not allowed. And I want to touch on that one a little bit later, because I have an example of Sharia banking occurring here in Canada. I'll get to that maybe after the first little break I'm going to take. No testimony in court is acceptable from people of low-level jobs such as street sweepers or bathhouse attendants. Women in low-level jobs such as professional funeral mourners cannot keep custody of their children in case of divorce. And professional funeral mourners. I'm not sure if you're really quite familiar to what that is, but maybe you've seen on the evening news that a high-profile Muslim, his funeral, and you got the crowds, and you've got a group of women, and they do that, la 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 la. Those are the professional funeral mourners. They're the ones there for the cameras and everything. Yes, that's actually an occupation. Those aren't actual mourners. They're paid professionals. Yeah, so there you go. A non-Muslim cannot rule even over a non-Muslim minority. Homosexuality is punishable by death. And I find that one rather interesting because Muslims are actually quite taken by prepubescent boys. Having a baka bachi boy, is permissible under Islamic law. So I find this rather interesting that homosexuality is punishable by death, which it is. We have seen homosexuals being hanged by cranes in Iran. We all remember when Ahmadinejad spoke at the UN a couple of years back and declared that there is no homosexuality in Iran. Yeah, it's because you kill them, Ahmadinejad. There is no age limit for marriage of girls. The marriage contract can take place any time after birth and can be consummated at age 8 or 9. Usually that does not occur, but it can. It's allowed under Sharia law. Usually the girl has to be of menstruating age before the marriage is consummated. However, for some reason, though, Muslim girls, they tend to mature earlier than the average girl in the West. So that is permissible under Sharia law. Rebelliousness on the part of the wife nullifies the husband's obligation to support her and gives him permission to beat her and keep her from leaving the home. Divorce is only in the hands of the husband. And as easy as saying, I divorce you, and it becomes effective. Even if the husband did not intend it. That is referred to as talaq. And talaq is, I divorce you. That's Arabic for release. I release you. They can be having a fight, an argument in their kitchen. And if he utters talaq, they're automatically divorced, but they can be reconciled in a Sharia court if he says, well, I didn't mean it. You know, there you go. But that's how easy it is to divorce under Sharia law. And, of course, the wife has no say in it. A woman inherits half of what a man inherits. A man has the right to have up to 4 wives, and none of them have a right to divorce him, see? Even if he is polygamous. The dowry is given in exchange for the woman's sexual organs. let that one sink in. A man is allowed to have sex with slave women and women captured in battle. And if the enslaved woman is married, her marriage is annulled. And we all saw that, especially when Muhammad conquered Medina, how he slaughtered thousands of men and took the woman as his slaves. His army took the woman and the children as slaves. A testimony of a woman in court is half the value of a man. A woman loses custody of her children if she remarries. And I want to talk about custody for a bit. Under Sharia law, the husband has, or the father, I suppose, because it doesn't matter if he's divorced from the wife or not, but he has sole dominion over the children. Girls can only go to school until they are 8 years old. So the father has sole control. The wife has absolutely no say over the rearing of the children after certain ages, 8 years old for girls. I believe it's 8 years old for girls, a little older for boys, but the woman loses control of her children. And I don't mean control in the sense that they're out of control. No, she loses total control and care and dominion of her own children to the husband automatically. To prove rape, a woman must have 4 male witnesses. A rapist may only be required to pay the bride money or dowry without marrying the rape victim. A Muslim woman must cover every inch of her body, which is considered ara, or sexual organ. Not all Sharia schools allow the face of a woman to be exposed. A Muslim man is forgiven if he kills his wife at the time that he caught her in the act of adultery. However, the opposite is not true for women, since the man could be married to the woman he was caught with. Let you wrap your heads around that one too. It is obligatory for a Muslim to lie if the purpose is obligatory. That means for the sake of aiding and abiding with Islam's commandments such as jihad. A Muslim is obliged to lie and should not have any feelings of guilt or shame associated with this kind of lying. Now, I just want to go back to point 33. A Muslim man is forgiven if he kills his wife at the time he has caught her in an act of adultery. Okay. Yes, he is. He is, a matter of fact, he must kill her because she has brought shame. And in order to kill her and restore honor to the family, it must be done. Hang on, guys. I want to play this for you.
She's buried chest high. Her arms can't stop the stones that fly or wipe the tears that have already dried for a crime she so persistently denied. She's buried chest deep. The moderate's asleep, no matter how hard she weeps, worth half a man, her testimony's cheap. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come up with such a fair rule. Dictators of history couldn't be so cruel. told by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, teaching us Allah's divine referendum. What becomes of those who have a sip of rum, drinks to forget or wants to be numb, or those who play a game of chance, poker buddies escaping the religious trance? Allah's prescribed in His merciful script, their flesh be ripped, their blood be dripped at the tip of a Muslim's whip. She's buried chest high. Her arms can't stop the stones that fly or wipe the tears that have already dried for a crime she so persistently denied. And this is Allah's eternal reply. 1400 years of backwards law, a tragic flaw of the primitive claw. The tribe of homosexuals, kom lut as they say, Sharia is clear on how they should pay. The price for their gay display, life doesn't matter which way. Abu Bakr got them with a tumbling wall. Ali, Muhammad's cousin and son-in-law, had people burned for their sexual call. An entire village, children and all. She's buried chest deep, the moderate to sleep. No matter how hard she weeps, worth half a man, her testimony's cheap. Apostates, remember those who have bled to speak the words Muslims leave unsaid, killed for the sake of those misled, submit now or be left dead. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come up with such a fair rule, the devil himself couldn't be so cruel. She's buried chest high, halfway deep, while the moderates are still fast asleep, while the world stands silent. Her testimony's cheap, stones thrown by religious sheep. Witches were burned long ago till the flame of freedom began to glow and we learned to say the word no. No. Know that your laws are unjust, not worthy of respect, only disgust, beheading those with a knife thrust. Oh, but in Allah we so blindly trust. She's buried head high in a heap of stones. No more crying, no more moans. All that's left is skin and bones. Allah has come up with such a fair call, the true justice of Sharia law.
And I want to thank Beth and Ellie of In Defense of Freedom for that clip. They played that on their show, and I stole it. So I should at least give the show credit. I'm a real thief when it comes to songs and clips. I'm very bad. I'm always stealing from Holger. But yeah, Sharia law now. Sharia courts being entertained in the United States in particular. Sharia courts in the UK. We don't have Sharia courts in Canada, but we tacitly do approve Sharia law all the same. We still have Friday prayers going on in Toronto public schools. And it's not being challenged. The Toronto District School Board is not challenging these Friday prayers taking place in the cafeterias in Toronto schools. There was a case in Quebec. In 2001, the municipal government of Huntingdon in Quebec, they built a mosque, a halal slaughterhouse, and they offered a one-year property tax moratorium to attract Muslim residents. That's right. So we may not have Sharia courts, but we do tacitly accommodate Sharia law. Now, like I say, Sharia law in the UK, it's in Islamic expansion phase 4. That means it's getting pretty big over there. Muslim imams in the UK, they now outnumber the UK's Christian pastors, and they convert empty church buildings into mosques. It's actually become a cottage industry over there. In 2008, the UK government formally recognized the first Sharia law court and the Archbishop of Canterbury, who is the head of the Church of England, stated that adopting elements of the Sharia law into the UK's court system was unavoidable. Since then, guys, about 100 Sharia law courts have been established. They technically lie within the UK's tribunal court system, but they are issuing rulings that contradict UK's common law as well as European Union laws. If you have a chance, I don't know if I have it right here in my file. I don't know if I do or not. But there was a really good documentary on BBC presented it, Inside the Sharia Courts. If you have a chance, just go to Google. You'll find it. I believe it was Dispatches that presented that documentary, BBC, Inside Sharia Courts, Inside the UK's Sharia Courts. Like I say, I don't have it right in front of me, but believe me, a quick Google search will get you there. Now, what about Sharia law in America? It's happening now. Public American schools with Muslim students are holding Sharia law required prayers towards Mecca. See? It's happening in the United States too. Public American universities are building Sharia required washing facilities. You have the Muslim Student Association. The United States just dodged a bullet regarding Sharia courts in Florida, but that is up for appeal. Do you know in 2000, the Republican National Convention became the first American presidential convention to open with a Muslim prayer to Allah? I bet you didn't know that. Or maybe you did. I think my listeners do. I have smart listeners. In 2007, the Quran, for the first time, was used to swear into office a new congressman. Sharia is alive and well, and it's thriving. And we do not want it. For all that is good, humane, and decent, fight Sharia law. We do not want Sharia law in the West. We do not want it for our sons and daughters. We do not want it for the women. Sharia law must be fought at all costs, ladies and gentlemen. Read up on Sharia law. Spread what Sharia law entails, what it entails for our democracies in the West. Sharia law is a dangerous, dangerous entity. Please fight Sharia law wherever you can. Go to rallies. Get the word out that Sharia law is dangerous, and keep it out of the West.